1 and we are live. All right, so we are starting I'm starting a podcast, just a cast. I'm very inspired by a lot of people, Joe Rogan, Kevin Smith, tons of people, and I like to just talk to people. So Dakota I have here with me, who I've done cast with before on my language learning channel. Dakota I met via language learning, but that's not what this podcast is going to be about. Dakota just recently moved to China. And actually, I'm not even sure. I know that we speak fairly often, but I'm not even sure. What do you do over there? Like, what did you move over there for?
I'm an English teacher. So okay. I have a master's degree in teaching English to speakers of other languages. So unlike most people who travel abroad to teach English, I actually have an education in it. There's this really bad stereotype of people going abroad to teach English who have... In a lot of countries, especially East Asia, you just need a degree. So I could have a degree in physics and come over here and teach English.
Gotcha. That's actually interesting, because I know I had looked into that at one point. Like, I'd really, really wanted to live abroad. And I know that there's actually, especially South American countries, you don't even have to have a degree.
Yep.
Like, at all.
Yeah. You just need to be a native speaker in some places.
Yeah. Because I know one of the places I had looked at was Argentina.
Yeah.
And Argentina doesn't require anything like that. So that's very interesting. But you're right. I know that a lot of countries are very, like, they don't care what your degree is. You just have to have a degree, which I find kind of weird, because is someone, like, let's say someone passionate about teaching, are they less qualified than someone who has a degree in math that's literally not going to use that while teaching?
Well, the thing is that a lot of these places are super desperate to get teachers, and especially native speakers. And a lot of the time, it isn't really about teaching. It's about exposing the children to foreigners and getting them excited about learning the language.
Yeah. I have one of my buddies teaches. He taught in Korea for 2 years, and he's been in Japan. This will be his second year teaching English. And he said that it's not that he doesn't teach, because he definitely does and he's good at what he does, but he said you're basically paid for them to be able to interact with a native speaker. Like, that's more so what you're there for.
That's exactly what it is. The JET program is probably the most famous program for this. I don't know what the JET program's claims they're doing, but what I've heard of it in reviews and people talking about it, it's a program in Japan by the Japanese government. And they get native English speakers or people who are really, really good at English. And it's almost impossible to be placed in major cities. And if you are placed in major cities, you're placed on the outskirts, because they're sending native speakers to places that won't necessarily encounter foreigners. You're going to the more rural parts of Japan through this program, which is what a lot of these schools and programs are doing. They're just getting natives there, so people get exposure to foreigners and exposure to other cultures.
Right. Okay. So I do want to jump back into that, but let's just start at the beginning, and because I want to talk about this, because we've briefly talked about this, but not too much. I do remember messaging you about this. So when you sign up to go to China, you submit your fingerprints to the Chicago police, because you're from Chicago. Well, you're not from Chicago. You lived in Chicago. You had to submit all kinds of stuff, right? And they lost it.
Oh my God. It's so you have to get a background check to get a working visa in another country, because they want to make sure that they're not hiring a criminal to teach their 5-year-olds.
Right.
So I submitted a paper version of a background check. And so I did my fingerprints with ink on paper, and then I sent it in. And after 2 weeks, I was told I would get my background check in 2 weeks tops. So after 2 weeks, I called and I said, hey, where's my background check? I was told it would definitely be here by now at the latest. And they said, well, sometimes it takes 3 or 4 weeks for it to happen. They weren't necessarily telling you the truth. Like, their office is different from our office. They don't know what's going on here.
That's reassuring.
Yeah. Well, because I did it with the Chicago police, but the background check is done through the Illinois State Police.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So I waited another week with what they said. They said to call back. I ended up calling back 3 or 4 times, and they kept telling me, oh, it's just here. They cashed my check almost immediately.
Of course.
Right? And then apparently what they do is they cash your check, and then they put your fingerprints in a pile to be filed. Apparently. They don't cash it when they input your information.
Like when they process it, so you know, it's like, all right, my money's out, so I know that something's working here.
Right. So my money was taken out of my account, so I figured they were processing my paperwork. But no, they put it aside to do it at a later date. They just take your money. And then they apparently lost my fingerprints.
Of course.
And I left. When they finally admitted that I lost my paperwork, they stopped responding to my emails. They stopped returning my calls. And so I just ended up having to pay for a more expensive digital scanning of my fingerprints because I needed my background check. And so they didn't refund me. They just took my money and started ignoring me.
Wow. That's that must be just how the government works in America. Like we had a recent thing where as you know, I totaled my car in June on that way to on the way to New Jersey to a wrestling show, and I hit a deer and totaled it. So later in June, which I, you know, my insurance paid for, I have great insurance. My insurance is amazing. And they, the car was worth more than what it was, you know, than what it totaled for. So I got money back to put it as a down payment on a car and stuff.
Awesome.
And so we bought the car in June. Now we bought it June 17th. So my, temporary tags ran out 8/17. They ran out last Friday. So I started looking around. I was like, man, it's two days. This was like last Wednesday. And I was like, they haven't sent my tags yet. They haven't sent my replacement, like my, you know, the new tags, like versus the paper tag.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, something's weird. So anyway, a whole bunch of crap happened. So we go down to the DMV, me and Tracy. And, and so we were like, hey, you know, I was supposed to, you know, we got tags, but they're expired. We need something. So the car lot that I bought it from didn't send my they waited 2 months to send my papers off. They were like, well, we didn't get this until last month, which is fine because I'm like, you know what, that gives me an extra month, but that's still like, what is the deal? Well, we told them to change the address because we have a different address than what we had. Like we had a P.O. box listed and we were like, look, we don't have the P.O. box anymore. We need this address. They're like, yeah, cool, we'll get it changed. So they didn't change the address. So they sent tags to a P.O. box that doesn't exist anymore to someone else.
Oh,
and on the title of the car, I live right on the state line. I don't know if you knew that or not, but I live in a town called Bluefield, which is, there's a Bluefield, Virginia, and a Bluefield, West Virginia. The state line is, I can be at the state line of West Virginia in 3 minutes. Like it's, I mean, it shares, you know, shares a city or whatever the state does. So we bought the car because the car lot is in West Virginia. And we bought the car there. Well, when they sent the title off, and it obviously didn't matter to an extent because they got the Virginia DMV got it. But on the tag, on that title, it still lists. It says, "Is this car going to be registered and insured in the state of West Virginia?" And they clicked they checked yes. Dude, it was. It's not the same thing, obviously, but it must be a government thing, man. They're having a, I don't know, a down season or something, because it was a hassle from the get.
Well, first of all, Chicago is known for having corrupt politics. Like, that's one of the theories of where the nickname Windy City comes from. So it could just be that. Okay. But also, I think it's just bureaucracy in general in the United States. I have attempted to change my address at my university 4 or 5 times now. They still keep sending stuff to my address 3 addresses ago.
Wow. Because they just won't take the change.
Yeah, like, I've changed it myself. I've filed paperwork to have it changed. Like, I've gone online and changed it. I was just, oh my gosh, I don't know what else I can do. They still think that I live on my address 4 addresses ago.
Like, and at that point, it's like, what can you do? I mean, like, outside, like, you're doing everything that you're supposed to get a change, and they're not changing it. So what are you supposed to do?
I don't know if you knew me. Did you know me when I was working as a tutor at my university?
I don't think so. That doesn't sound familiar.
I didn't get paid for over a month or so because the first paycheck is an actual check. And you get direct deposit after the first one.
Right.
I don't know why, but that's how they did it. And so I didn't get my first paycheck because they sent it to the old address. And then when they got another one, they sent it to the old address, even though I had changed it with them when I told them why I didn't get it. And so finally I was like, make a third one and keep it in the office, and I will come pick it up. Like,
right.
Wow, oh, my man. Gosh.
So how – that's actually interesting because I know you're from Indiana, right?
Mm-hmm.
How did
you – originally from Indiana.
I know you went to school in Chicago, but how did you decide – like, what was the draw to Chicago? Was it a specific program you were taking? Was it like a prestigious school in what you were taking? Or like, how did you end up in Chicago?
It wasn't Indiana, and I could easily get to it.
That makes sense.
So, Indiana, where I'm from, I've heard it's gotten a lot better. But when I was in high school, it was terrible. The year before I started high school, a gay kid was beaten so bad he was put into a coma, and the kid who beat him got 3 days suspension, and that's it.
Man.
And it happened at the school.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so that's the guy. I would get full cans of soda thrown at my head, and then I would get in trouble.
Right.
Like, that's the environment I grew up in. And so after my first year of university, when bureaucracy screwed me over there, I had a free ride to state schools in Indiana.
Okay.
I don't remember if it was because I was poor or because I was smart or because I was poor and smart.
You hit the jackpot.
I don't think it was because I was smart, because I had terrible grades. I graduated with almost exactly a 2.0 from high school. But I got really good test scores.
Right. Kind of, you're smart when you need it.
Yeah. Like, when I took tests in high school, I almost always got A's, often 100% or more, because they're often extra credit points.
Right.
But I didn't do my homework. I lost my full ride because of bureaucracy. And I said, I don't have free university anymore, and I hate this city. So I was going to move either to Indianapolis, Chicago, or preferably Boston. Like, in that order, that's what I wanted.
Okay.
I'm
not trying to break you up. What town in Indiana did you, where are you from?
So the city that I grew up in is called Mishawaka, which nobody knows, but it's literally right next to South Bend.
Okay. So it's north,
which a lot of people know because of Notre Dame.
Right.
So, I'm basically from Notre Dame.
Gotcha.
And, people who live there, technically I'm not from the same city, but people who live there barely know where one city ends and the other begins. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm from there, which is one of the, I think it was when Trump was elected, it was one of the four counties in Indiana that turned blue.
Whoa, so, okay.
I'm from the liberal part of the state, and that's what I went through in high school.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy, man. The reason I was asking, because there's only, I know of, I think, two cities in Indiana, or two towns in Indiana. I know, obviously, Indianapolis.
Yeah.
But there's another, there's a wrestling promotion that runs shows out of Memphis, Indiana, which is like south Indiana. It's like,
yeah.
I guess near, what is, I'm trying to think of the geography here, like Kentucky is, I guess it would be near Kentucky.
I think it's Kentucky.
I think that's South. Kentucky stretches, Kentucky's a big state. It doesn't seem like it is, but it's huge.
It's just huge the other way.
Yeah, okay, cool. So, all right, so continue. Indianapolis, Chicago, Indianapolis, or Boston?
Yeah, Boston, I've only visited there a couple of times, but it seems amazing.
I've never been to Boston. I've always wanted to go, though. And I've always wanted to go to that Lizzie Borden Bed and Breakfast.
Is that in Boston?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if it's in Boston, but it's in that area. I looked it up one time. I Google Maps it, and I did the street view and like went past it. I don't know if it's like technically in Boston, but it's like part of Boston. It's like... if that makes sense. You know how like New York City is New York to everybody else, but to everybody there, they're like, no, I'm from this borough, that borough. I think it's kind of, I could be wrong on that. I wouldn't quote me on that, but I think it's one of those situations where foreigners consider it Boston, but Bostonians are like, no, that's East Garden or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like maybe it's technically not within the city proper. Like it's a rural part of the city, but it's technically within city limits sort of thing.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Have you ever been to what's it called, Salem, Massachusetts?
No, the furthest north I've been is I've been to New York City. And I haven't been up past that. That's actually, I've not been to anything in the state of New York except for specifically Manhattan.
You should, if you ever get the chance and you want to go someplace that's like not a big city, but it has a lot of things in it, yeah, especially if you're interested at all, like the history of the witch trials.
Yeah, for sure.
Which I've written so many papers on the witch trials growing up.
That's cool.
But I went there like during the summer, so like everything was closed. Like, it's maybe it wasn't. When I went there, like everything was closed, especially because I was only there for the night, so everything was closed. But it's like a small town sort of thing. Like, it's not a big city, but it has a bunch of stuff in it. And it was really fun. I loved it.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
But yeah, I ended up in Chicago because I had a cousin who lived there. It's my mom's cousin, so my second cousin. And he was like, you can live here for free for a little bit until you get on your feet. And I was like, that's the best option I got. So yep, we're going to Chicago.
Yeah, that's definitely... Okay, so that explains that. Because I always wonder, because I knew that you were from Indiana. And I know that, like, Chicago is a destination city. Like, it's not like you were like, I'm moving to Bluefield. Like, then it's like, what the heck happened, man? How did you get here? But, like, I mean, yeah. I know Chicago is... I'd always wondered that, because I know that you were... I knew that you were from Indiana. So how, like, did you, like, what was your main goal? Was your goal to always try to teach abroad, or what was the goal? Like, what was your, like, kind of like your career goal or something? Like, was that always your plan, was to get to where you were teaching abroad?
Yes. So often, you know, when you're a kid, like, one week you want to be a teacher, one week you want to be a firefighter, one week you want to be an astronaut.
Mm-hmm.
I always went back and forth between doctor, vet, and teacher were my, like, three main things, if I remember correctly. And plus things like author and writer, but I never thought that would be able to be a job.
See, I went the other way with that, man. I put so many eggs into the I want to be a movie maker basket, and now I'm just like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Which I say that negatively. I don't mean that negatively. I actually love the job that I have, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, I put so much into that. That, like, yeah. I mean, I could have literally been a doctor by now. I'm 30 years old. Like,
yeah. But, and so teacher was always one of the things on the horizon. And I used to love math. Like, I loved math. When I was in middle school, I actually did the SAT in middle school. And I got above average. I forget what my score was, but it was a good score for math. In middle school. Like, I loved math. I took calculus as an elective in high school.
Whoa.
I ended up dropping out of it because it was an elective, and I wasn't doing the homework because it was an elective.
Right.
So I dropped out and became a teacher's assistant for Japanese. But in high school, things changed, and math was no longer the thing I loved because the people who tormented me were in my math class, and the teachers who didn't care were my math teachers. So it became a really not fun place to be. Whereas the Japanese classes and the French classes were like a safe place.
Mm-hmm.
And the Japanese teacher told us that we could teach abroad. That's what she did. And I was like, well, I've always wanted to be a teacher, and I've always wanted to travel. Bam! Perfect. I can travel by going to different places and teaching.
Gotcha. Now, you talked about people bullying you and stuff in school a little bit. Like, at what point did you openly just come out when you were younger, or was that hidden and people were just like, we know Dakota's gay, we hate him? Like, what was the, like, I mean, you don't have to talk about that if you don't want to, but I'm interested to see, like, you know, how that transpired. Like, from a young age, were you just like, look, dude, I'm gay, I don't care? And then everybody else was just like, we have a problem with this because we care about other people's bedrooms.
Yeah. So what happened was, okay, so I think it's funny because there's a lot of guys out there, a lot of gay guys, who come out in steps. They say that they're bisexual first.
Right.
And then they're like, just kidding, I'm gay. That's not to say that bisexuals don't exist or that bisexual men will eventually come out as gay, but that's a step that a lot of gay guys took.
Right.
I don't know if it still happens like that, but in the past. I didn't realize that was an option. So in elementary school, I remember in about third grade, because I know it was third grade because I remember the classroom I was thinking about it in. I switched schools in third grade. So I was like debating in my head whether or not I was gay in third grade because I didn't know I could like both. And so I started coming out
from an early age. You just knew that you, I mean, you just from an early age, you knew what you liked.
Yeah. A lot of people do, even if they don't. I've known a lot of people who come out later in life, like in their 20s or whatever. And they look back on it. They're like, oh my God, I was so gay. I just didn't understand the feelings.
Gotcha. And okay.
So people typically know, even if they don't understand what they know, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely.
And so I started coming out to people around sixth grade, just like close friends. And then in middle school, it leaked out. I thought it leaked out more than it did. Like, it only leaked out to like a handful of people. And then in high school, I stopped coming out. Like, I never came out to my parents. I just stopped hiding it.
Right.
Because I got the attitude, if straight people don't need to come out, I don't need to come out. If people make assumptions about my sexuality, that's their fault, not mine. Right. Their problem, not mine.
That's actually, I'm glad that you said that, because I've always thought that. Like, I've never understood how, if you're gay, it's your responsibility to come out. But, like, I've never went to my mom and been like, I gotta tell you, I'm straight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and I guess it's because of the social norm, blah, blah, blah type of situation, or, you know, whatever people call it. But, like, it is weird, you know? Like, why? Like, and where I always break it down is, who cares, man? Like, and I say this as, and I think people who watch my channel know, like, I like, believe in God, and, like, I consider myself a Christian, but I also am not a judgmental person, because it's not between me and it. You know what I mean? It's you, like.
And which is exactly what Christianity preaches.
Oh, no. I know. I've been, I'll see people people all the time will be like, Christians are such idiots. And I'm like, not all of us. Some of us are all right, man. Like, but I understand the stigma, you know, it's, Christians get bad raps, you know, Islam gets bad raps. Everything gets bad raps because of like a couple of bad seeds here, and it destroys everything.
Exactly.
Well, that's the way the world is. So.
Yeah, and a bunch of people... See, I don't know if you saw the thing I posted the other day. I often post things that are anti-Christianity, but when it comes down to it, I have no problem with Christianity. I have a problem with people using it, which I know is not the majority of people. But, you know, I grew up in a place where Christianity was used against me every single day. That's the reason... Because the hall monitors were very religious. The principal, I was at a public school, and he would actively talk about how he was running it like a Catholic school, and he wanted it to be a Catholic school.
Gotcha.
And so, like, that was why I was tormented. And so I post sometimes, occasionally, when things really get on my nerves, anti-Christianity things. But a lot of people that I know think, I hope you understand when I post them. I'm not talking about Christians as a whole. I'm talking about the Christians who aren't being Christ-like.
Right. No, I get that, man. I have this conversation with a buddy of mine all the time about how, you know, it's not even that, like, I think that there's a big misunderstanding in the world that if you disagree with something, it means you hate it.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people also in that same breath need to understand, just because you disagree with somebody doesn't mean you have to actively go at them.
Yeah.
Like, if I did, or, well, I'm not going to say it, because, like, I'm always afraid that I'm going to say something in context and people are going to, like, take that one clip and be like, this dude hates these people. But, like, let's say that, like, this dude over here doesn't agree with gay people. That's his, right? That's his belief. But, like, why start harassing people? Just like if a gay person's like, I like this guy and he's not gay, like, they wouldn't just go after him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just people need to leave each other alone, I think, is the big thing. And, like, dude, nobody knows if we're right or wrong. That's literally what the definition of faith is. It's a faith. It's a kind of like a hope and a want that what you believe is right. nobody knows. Like, if everybody knew, then everybody would just follow the same thing.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, if there was definitive proof, then...
Right. Like, I have reasons for believing in stuff. Like, one of the... And again, it goes... Because I could tell the story, and the way that you would perceive it would just be like, oh, well, it's happenstance. And that's... But again, it's each individual basis. Like, one of the things that I'll always remember, man, and this is, like, one of the reasons I'm, like, a big believer, is just, like, my... My grandfather, he had, he was having issues, and they took him to the hospital.
Yeah.
And so, dude, they opened him up, and they were like, you have a tumor, and it has encased your stomach.
Oh.
So we're going to fly you out of here, and they flew him to Roanoke. So they flew him to Roanoke, and like the whole time, like my uncle's a preacher. Like I grew up in a super, super religious family, which, you know, fortunately, I don't know any family member of mine, and I'm not saying that just because this is on a video. Like, I don't know any of my family members who are like, they believe what they believe, but they're not like douches. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're anyway. But so they, dude, the whole time he was in the air, just everybody's, you know, just praying for him, blah blah blah. He gets down there. They open him up. They're like, all right, we're gonna try to get this tumor off your stomach, but there's a high chance this is not gonna happen. Do they open him up? There's nothing in him.
What?
Yeah, like it's completely gone. And I understand like misdiagnosis, but you can't misdiagnose a tumor encasing a stomach. Like if it was like, oh, that one spot might be, oh, that spot's not there. All right, maybe. But like, yeah, dude, they opened them up. Nothing was in there. Sewed them up. Came back home.
Yeah. Well, that's that. Surgery done. We did a great job.
I'm sure they still collected that payday.
I'm sure they did.
But anyway, so that's just like just an example.
But no, like faith is an interesting thing. I think it was in Da Vinci Code, I think, which is a movie that we shouldn't talk about because it's a terrible movie. But
I've
in
only
it,
seen it once.
I think it was Da Vinci. Huh?
I've only seen it once. I saw it in the movies when it released. And
it was so bad. Maybe it wouldn't have been bad if I hadn't read the book, but like,
yes, you have not read it.
Adaptions are always different, but oh boy,
it's not like it's not like The Shining different, where it's like this still rules.
Yeah,
because I think The Shining's fantastic. Yeah, I love The Shining book, but I love the movie also.
I haven't seen that since I was like 8 or something. I need to rewatch it.
Dude, I watch it every... It's a Christmas movie for me. I watch it every Christmas.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
But in it, I'm pretty sure it was this one. It was one of those movies that Tom Hanks is in based on a Dan Brown thing.
Yeah, and he did Da Vinci Code and then Angels and Demons.
Yeah. In one of them, he says that, like, faith is a gift that he hasn't been blessed with. And despite it being not a great movie or that really good of a book, I super relate to that line. Like, I wish I could believe in something. It'd be so comforting.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so there's a part of me that, like, really envies religious people because I'm just sitting here like, I want proof.
Right.
And just, you don't get it a lot of the time. Like you said, there's not proof and there'll never be proof.
Yeah, it's, I mean, that's, like I said, well, because once it is, it stops becoming faith.
Exactly.
So it's a very interesting dynamic.
And
you know, the thing is I have people, I've talked to people who are like, because I like to study stuff, man. I love, like, the older I get, the more I just become like an information, like, I just want all the information that I can have.
Yes.
And I've talked to people who are like, you know, how can you read about this, or how can you read about that, or, you know, how can you, you know, look at this stuff, or how can you try to read, you know, stuff about there not being a God or something. And I'm like, look, the thing is if I'm comfortable enough in my religion, what's going to change my mind? Right.
Exactly.
Why not see it? I mean, like, that's the thing. Like, I feel like if you're secure enough in it, it doesn't matter what people present you. You can look at it from a light and say, okay, does this affect me or not? And so if I'm comfortable in it and I'm I fully believe what I believe, what does it matter if I'm going out researching other stuff just for the sake of information? Because there's a lot of similarities in a lot of religions that people won't agree with. I mean, they'll say that it's not, but there is.
Exactly. There are a lot of similarities in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there is.
It's the same God. It's the same. It all started in the same place. They just evolved in different ways.
Yeah, there's a lot of. I mean, there's a lot of differences, but there's a lot of similarities.
Yeah,
very, like, very similar passages and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's like, because, you know, Judaism evolved into Christianity, and like the difference, the big difference is Jews believe that the what's the word you were used to refer to Jesus, the last prophet or something, right?
Right. They believe that Jesus isn't the Son of God, as to where Christians do.
Yeah, so they're still waiting for him to come, and then Muslims are like, yeah, Jesus was totally a prophet, but there was one more after him. Like, that, those are the huge major differences between the religions, like the biggest difference.
Right. Yeah. There's
like everything else based off of those differences.
Yeah, and that's something I've got on kind of the back burner. I want to do more research on the similarities. I love honestly, I'd love to just go back to college and take like a world religions class. Because I would love to learn more about, and again, it's not because I'm trying to prove myself wrong. That's like because I'm fully set in what I believe, especially just because of some of the life situations, like I talked about earlier. But why not try to learn and understand just how it goes right into culture, man. I mean, religions can found can be the basis of culture, like. Because I think in Japan, I think the main religion over there is Hindi. Or I'm Hindi, Jesus Christ. Hindu. Oh my God, dude, what am I saying?
It's Shinto and Buddhism.
Buddhism. Good Lord, how did I confuse? But it also makes sense because it seems like the Japanese people, even though they can be intense, it seems like they're more peaceful kind of. Like,
yeah.
And they're very kind of to themselves. I know that I read a long time ago that if you go, if you're in Japan, right? So in America, right? You're walking down the streets of Chicago. What's going on, man? Hey, what's going on, man? Hey, how are you? You just keep walking past, right? I read a long time ago that if you're in Japan and you're like, oh, hey, how's it going? They'll stop and be like, do you need something? Like we're engaged in a conversation now. What's happening? And so Buddhism kind of lends to like, trying to be peaceful beings, making it through the world, man. Like, but anyway, but religion breeds culture. What is the main religion in China? Do you know right off?
Okay. I don't know what's considered a religion and what's just considered a school of thought, and maybe Buddhism.
I'm gonna look that up.
I know that it's pretty big here. Taoism, I don't think is a religion technically. Maybe it is. So all throughout China's history, well, since all of them were invented, depending on which dynasty you were in, Taoism, Buddhism, or Confucianism were really big. And they've all been super pervasive and worked their way into the Chinese cultures in different ways. I think nowadays, they all sort of three, like Confucianism isn't a religion. It's like a school of thought sort of thing. Some people argue that parts of Buddhism aren't a religion. So whether or not they're religions, they're like major belief systems throughout China's history that whether or not they're super prevalent now have been really, they really formed Chinese culture.
Right. Okay. I just looked this up right here, and I didn't do it on my computer because, like, the way this microphone is, you can hear it, like, I don't know if you can hear that or not. But anyway, so it says, religion in China, it says, although China is officially atheist, many Chinese people are religious. The main religions in China are Buddhism, Chinese folklore, Taoism, and Confucianism. I always thought that was Confucianism. Maybe I'm confusing for the Confucius say, but anyway, so that's actually interesting that I didn't know that China was like officially like considered atheist, because that really blows my mind, because that means like that country, the world's biggest country, 2+ billion people have no belief.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me.
And that's, like I said, Buddhism for a lot of people isn't necessarily a religion. It's just sort of a way to live your life.
Yeah.
And so I've met quite a few Chinese people who say that they're Christian. And I know that one of the provinces or whatever they're called here is heavily Muslim as well. To the point where my fiance knew the word for, what's their food system called? Not kosher.
Yeah, you're thinking, they have to eat.
Anyway, he knew the word for that, but he didn't know the word kosher. Whereas I think that more Americans know kosher over the Muslim one.
I'm going to look that up too. Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Let me see.
But I've met, like I said, a lot of Chinese people who say that they're Christian, but they
halal.
Hold their Chinese, huh? Halal, yes. They hold like the Buddhism and stuff above Christianity. So while they might like passively be like, oh yeah, Jesus is cool, I'm a Christian, when it comes down to it, it's they're more so not. It's just sort of like, at least the ones that I've met, it's just sort of like a meh, why not sort of thing.
Right.
And so that's how religion looks like in Japan as well, from what I've seen. Like you were mentioning, you know, the Shinto and the Buddhism live hand in hand. They go really well together. But most Japanese people say that they're not religious because they're not religious in the way that Americans are.
Right.
Or Westerners in general. You know, we go to church, we pray, we talk about our religion. For them, it's just ingrained in life. You know, they don't think about it. It just is. It's just part of the culture.
Right. I kind of wish America would go to that, man. Like, and
yeah.
I say that and we're having a big deep conversation about religion, but I feel like we're both civilized adults. Like, I couldn't have this conversation with somebody else. Like,
yeah.
Because there's such a negative stigma behind it. And so many people can't say, I see where you're coming from. They'll immediately get negative and kind of, you know what I mean? You know how those conversations go, but, what interests me is I'm going to have to do some research on this. I wonder if there's any correlation to the breakdown of Mandarin and Cantonese and then like some of the other dialects as to whether or not one of the languages has is more specifically geared towards a religion, because those languages, I guess, would be more regional based or, you know, depending on a certain region. So I wonder, I don't know if that even makes sense what I'm saying, but I wonder if like the regions where a certain language or spoke, a religion is more heavily, you know, prominent there versus where, like, if Mandarin here, boom, all these Mandarin speakers are Buddhist, but right down below there's like a Cantonese, I don't want to say establishment, but you know what I mean, like place, like a town or something, and like maybe they're something else. Like, I wonder if there's any kind of breakdown like that.
I would say that there probably is in some way, because remember, one of the big religions listed were Chinese folk religions. What I think it means by that are the regional religions that have existed for thousands of years, probably.
Right.
So the big religions that are listed, I don't know how that would work. But I mean, in general, people like to clump together and people teach their kids what they know. So I would say that there's probably, because like you said, the languages are regional. And I feel like regions, people who believe a certain thing are going to go to those places, and people who live there are going to teach their kids those things.
Right.
So I'd say that's probably true, but it would definitely still be interesting to look at.
I guess in a weird way, it would be similar to how America is. I'm completely making the statistic up, but just go with me here, because it seems correct. And I should probably fact check this, but America seems that the most predominant religion in America is Christianity. To where Mexico and a lot of the Spanish-speaking countries that are still in the same hemisphere, and I mean, Mexico is literally attached to the United States just about.
Yeah.
But they're mostly Catholic, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Which I guess is technically derived from Christianity, but you know what I mean? Like, it's still slightly different. So I guess that would be the same kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. See, as someone on the outside, when people argue about like, oh, I'm Lutheran, not, you know, Catholic or whatever, I'm just like, it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like you're arguing about different flavors of Skittles to me. You're all still Skittles.
That's fun.
But but yeah, like it's just yeah, I think the United States is more Christian, and most of the Latino Latin America is Catholic, I think. Yeah. What were you gonna say?
I had another question that I was gonna ask, but go ahead and finish that or whatever you're
gonna say. I'm sure what you're gonna ask is much more interesting.
So you living in China, mm-hmm. and being gay, and I don't know if people watching this or not know, China is still very, look, America's still a little ways away from like the whole total acceptance thing, but we're making strides.
Yeah.
China, it's still pretty taboo, right? Like it's still. So how, okay. Like, have you had any, like, I mean, I know you've only been over there a short time, and I'm sure you're not just going out into the streets being like, you know what I love? but what's it like over there? Cause it's like, is that scary that, you know, someone could just like, how does what's going on over there? Cause I know that that's gotta be hard for you.
Okay. So in countries like the United States, if you come out in certain areas of the country, you don't just have to worry about your family's reaction. You're actually physically in danger sometimes.
Right.
You know, I've been like beat and punched for it. The kid in my high school was hospitalized. Like, it still happens today in the United States. Like, 100%. People still get killed for it. From my understanding, in China, you don't have to worry about that. I'm sure it happens, but it's not nearly as prevalent as it is in the United States. But you'll face extreme ostracization. Be banished, basically. Yeah. I can't say ostrich style.
Yeah, that's a weird word to say.
Yeah.
So they're not like, it's not that they're like, it's kind of like when you do something bad and your parents like, I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed. It's almost like that, like where they're like, I'm not angry at you, I'm not going to beat you, I'm just disappointed, I'm not going to talk to you for a while.
Yeah. From my understanding, it's not like a danger thing. No one's going to kill you for it, for the most part, like I said. Right. I'm sure it does happen, but I've never heard of it. Neither of any of the gay Chinese people I've talked to, but your family will never talk to you again.
Because it's shaming the family name, essentially, is what they're saying.
Yeah, ever.
Because I know ever. That the name, like, that's one thing. I guess maybe that's why they are so crazy, or not, I don't want to say crazy, but, like, I guess that's why they're so nuts about it. I guess that's the same word, but, like, because in Eastern cultures, man, that surname is everything.
Yeah.
And so I guess anything that what they think is shame coming on that, they're just like, nope. I mean, because China does the same thing, right? They introduce surname first.
Yeah.
Just like Japan.
Yes.
So, yeah, I guess that's why. I mean, it's still kind of dumb to me, but I guess it's without sounding like an idiot, I guess that's just foreign to me, like hating somebody and casting them out of your family.
Yeah, I don't get it. But like every gay person I've met here, they're like, no one knows and no one's ever going to know.
Well, I'm sure is China a little bit, I wonder, cause like, honestly, one thing I hate about America, one thing I hate about relationships in America, let me say that, is are they more, maybe a little more private over there? Maybe there's not as much of the whole like public display and like stuff like that.
It seems a little bit more private. I haven't seen like anyone making out on the street yet, which I've seen everywhere in the United States.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It seems a little bit more private so far. But I mean, I've seen people holding hands and like cuddling a little bit close and stuff, but yeah, it seems a little bit more private here, even for straight people. I know in Japan it definitely is. So, I've heard stories of people like not even realizing that their friends were in a relationship until they were getting married.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, that's obviously probably not super common, but wow. I'm pretty sure one of the YouTubers I watched said that their friend, they didn't even know their friend was in a relationship until they got invited to the wedding.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
And honestly, probably not a bad thing. I kind of wish that we would do that over here where people just kept stuff private, but with Facebook and stuff like that, you know, it's nuts. Oh, another thing that people may not know too much about China, now that you're there, you can kind of talk about it, because I've always been interested in this. China blocks Western VPNs, right?
Yeah, well, they block basically every Western website that's super, like, Twitter's blocked, Instagram's blocked, YouTube's blocked, Google's blocked, which Google runs everything.
Google has an office in China, don't they?
Do they?
I'm pretty sure they have one of their, like, headquarters in China, like maybe like Shanghai or something. Hold on.
Maybe, but it's blocked. So, which means that I can't play Pokemon Go, because Pokemon Go is Google Maps based. Like, everything is based on Google. Like, everything is blocked here. So what you need to do is, before you move here, or before you visit here, download a VPN, because it's going to be really hard to get it once you're here.
Headquarters, so, Beijing, China. Yeah.
It's so strange. Yeah, it's blocked here. You can't use it.
It's weird. And it was in 06. It's been there for 12 years. That's nuts. All right, sorry, continue.
I'll say almost everyone here I know has a VPN, which I don't know exactly how it works, but my computer thinks that I'm in Japan right now. My computer thinks I'm in Tokyo. So.
That's, I mean, I guess that's the way a lot of people do that. Because I know, like, I mean, could you imagine if that was so strict? Like, there would be no iTalki teachers and stuff.
Yeah, no, it would be insane. Because they just couldn't get on there.
That's crazy, man. Like, what is the... Is it because of, like, a... not a smear campaign, but, like, are they saying that maybe Western information is propaganda or something like that?
I don't know exactly. I think it's more so a push for Chinese things.
Like, total control, like, we own everything?
Yeah, so, like...
Use our Google, use our Facebook.
Exactly. Like, you use our whatever this thing is. Yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly what it is. I don't know how or why it started, but I think that's mostly what it is now. It's sort of just use our stuff. And there's also just, in general, a lot of censoring of information here.
Whoa.
So,
like, I mean, history there's censoring and stuff? Do they censor everywhere. History?
Huh?
Do they censor, like, history and stuff?
Everywhere, every country censors history.
Well,
I mean,
fair enough.
You know that the United States covered up Japan's war crimes during World War II just so the Soviets couldn't have their information.
Fair enough. The winners, yeah. the winners write history. Yeah, I guess that's true.
So, I mean, we covered up some real bad stuff. The Japanese were just as bad as the Nazis.
Yeah, I've actually read a little bit about some of the stuff during World War II with the Japanese. I've not spent a ton of time, but I know that I've seen some of the stuff, and I've seen plenty of people compare Japan during World War II to be just as bad, if not worse, than Nazi Germany.
Yeah.
But, well, it's weird. Why, like, I wonder why America was like, we're going to cover that up, because so the story is that Japan just out of nowhere came and bombed us.
Yeah.
And so, what, like, if that's the case, why did we then cover up a ton of information for them when they were technically our enemies?
It's so the Soviets didn't get it.
Oh, right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. They literally covered the Japanese, for example, they would force prisoners with STDs to rape women and impregnate them. And then once those, during various stages of pregnancy, they would cut those women open while they were awake and not numb. They'd cut them open and take the babies out to research the babies.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just one of the many things they did.
That is insane, man. Yeah, I need to do... There's actually several things we've talked about that I need to go back and do some reading. Because like I said, I love... The older I get, man, I just want the most information that I can just pack into my brain. I love reading about stuff like this and listening to stuff about stuff like that. So that's interesting. So what else do they censor over there? Are they like Japan with like porn and stuff like that? Like, do they censor, because that's like Japan's big claim to fame.
From what I've seen about porn is like, all they do is they blur stuff out in Japan. Mm. Whereas places like Korea, porn is illegal.
Is it?
Like, I'm pretty sure.
Wow.
Here, I don't know what the porn laws are. I didn't look into it because I have a VPN, so it doesn't matter. But yeah, I would assume that at least some of it's blocked. I don't know overall if it's allowed or not.
That's
but,
crazy.
Just to look into, because one of the things that I find fascinating is looking into the sex laws of different countries, like prostitution laws.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't looked into what is exactly legal here, but I've come across massage parlors,
mm-hmm.
so that are very open about what they do.
Just written right on the billboard outside.
Basically.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't think that that's illegal here, so I'm going to doubt that porn's illegal here.
So they're open. Because, it's weird. So they're open, but they're closed. Like, if you want to go out and do some freaky stuff, public all day, but when it comes to like a personal relationship, it's like, all right, we're gonna calm down here.
Yeah, well, that stuff wasn't like some sort of back alley sort of stuff, and I looked it up online. Like, it wasn't like, it's out there, but it's not like where you can see it, you know?
So
what I mean,
like, it's like the Thailand of China.
Yeah, kinda. And the other day I was around my apartment, there are a bunch of bars, which really sucks because I don't drink. It'd be great if I drank,
right?
But I was looking, and a bunch of them have Japanese names. It's like, oh, I wonder why this is. I wonder if Japanese is just really, like, chic and in here. And then I started looking closer, and not all, but a lot of the clubs with Japanese names had pictures of women in scantily dressed clothing posted on the outside. And I was like, maybe these are sort of, like, little seedier sort of things. Like,
right.
Having pretty women on the outside of your club doesn't necessarily mean you're seedy.
Right.
But then I found one that was literally a woman, like a headless woman in lingerie posted on the door. And I'm like, this one's seedy. This one,
yeah.
This one's seedy.
Wow. That's interesting.
So,
and
that
this
one was on
just
a main street.
Okay. And so it's almost like they're using the Japanese thing. Like, all right, the Japanese places, that's where you get the good stuff.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm like,
wow.
I'm like, I wonder if they use it. So this isn't a Chinese place. We wouldn't do that. It's those dirty Japanese.
I almost wonder if that's a negative thing, because Japan. So because Japan and China's histories are kind of linked, but Japan.
Yeah.
Did they like secede from China? Like, what is the deal? I don't remember how their history kind of started. Did they just basically say, like, look, we're done with this, like, we're gonna fight for our independence type of situation? Or
if I remember my East Asian history correctly, because I took an East Asian history class in university,
okay.
Japan was never part of China. Korea was, at least North Korea. I don't know if they got the whole peninsula or not, was part of China, but not Japan. At some points Korea was, at some points Korea wasn't. It depended what dynasty was in control and how far they spread and all that stuff. Because, you know, sometimes when a new one would take over, they just, like, collapse really small and then build out again.
It's all that
Japan.
Rice.
Yeah. Japan.
That's not a racist culture, joke towards Chinese. Dakota has a rice maker and he makes gallons of rice. That's why I said that.
I do. The first time I made rice, I made, like, enough for, like, a family for two meals. the second time I made it as well, because I just like having it made.
Nothing wrong with that.
But culture spread from China through Korea, which sort of filtered it into Japan through trade and stuff like that. Japan, through a lot of its history, I know more about Chinese history than I do Japanese history.
That's interesting what I do to know me about because you speak Japanese and you. That's actually really, I didn't know, I figured that you would have known more about, like, Japanese stuff just because of your interest in Japanese.
Well, I want to do, before I, like, get into something, I like to do some of that surfacey reading of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the surface reading of Japanese history is always about the samurai and the ninja and, like, feudal Japan and, like, the fighting.
Right.
I don't want to read about that.
I can understand that.
It was really easy for me to find information about, like, folk tales and that sort of thing for in religion and all of that for China, which is stuff that I'm more interested in.
Right. Okay.
So, but yeah. And so, but a lot of what I know about Japan is they've been very isolated for a lot of their history because they're an island nation and they just didn't let anyone come. They just stayed by themselves. And, you know, so occasional trading with China and Korea brought some of that culture to Japan, and they sent some of it back. Mostly it was importing culture. And so that's where that relationship comes from. That's why there's a lot of similarities, like the counting system in Japanese is Chinese-based, and the kanji, that sort of thing.
Right.
But I don't think they were ever part of Japan, China, technically.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I knew that they had went through a period where they didn't allow, like, they were kind of, like, shut off, man, which is kind of, that's how Poland is now. Like, Poland, it seems like, from what I've read, that Poland is, like, really hard to get into. Like, they're, like, I guess you can kind of come for vacation for a little bit, but it seems like they're not, like, you can't just, like, come to live there. Like, there's, like,
yeah,
they don't mess around with that stuff.
Interesting. Are they part of the EU?
I don't know. Well, that's what I was going to say. I guess after World War II, they were just like, you know what? People came here once before. No good.
Didn't work out well.
We are no more, man. Ain't nobody else coming back in here. But which it seems to work out. Poland's actually super safe, man. They have, if you look at a map of, if you look at a map of Europe and you look at pinpoints of where the terrorists, like any terrorist activity has happened, like terror attacks or anything, Poland is zero.
Really?
Yeah.
That's insane. Yeah. I want to go to Poland.
Because they don't freaking let anybody in, dude. Nothing. They don't give a crap.
No.
Yeah. Nice people, too, dude. I don't know if you've ever interacted with Polish people online, dude, but they are some of the nicest people.
I lived in Chicago. I've interacted with Polish
people. Oh, yeah. You probably had more Polish people living on your floor than I've met in person. Because I know, you know, Moses McCormick, he, Laoshu, he, when he started speaking Polish, man, his channel blew up, like, really? At that point, blew up, like, he gained, like, double subscribers of just people from Poland being like, thank you so much for speaking my language, man, I love it, like, it was really, really cool. Yeah, they're super, Polish people are, any Polish person I've ever had any kind of interaction with has been super, I mean, I guess I don't meet a lot of douchebaggy people anyway, you know, but, like, they're, like, super humble.
Yeah.
But I will say, literally the two nicest people I've ever met, like, just for just pure humble, and I think it has a lot to do with their culture, but I was in Bristol one time with my buddy Jimmy. He went to King College down there, and he had a friend who is a Japanese dude. This is not where the story ends. Like, so it's not the Japanese dude, although a super great dude. So one night we were going just hanging out, and he was like, "Hey, I've got two friends. They want to come. It's these two girls from Korea." So okay, from South Korea, obviously. And so we picked them up and stuff, and they're just talking, and I'm like, I don't know what to talk about, you know. Like, this is, like, culture shock for me because I'm from this town which has nobody from anywhere. And so here I am sitting in a van with a dude who lives, who from Osaka, and a dude, and two chicks from Korea. And so I'm just completely flabbergasted, like, what in the world is happening? So much culture, you know? And so the girls, I was like, all right, I don't know what to talk about. I'll talk about movies, right? So I was like, yeah, my favorite movie of all time is Korean. My favorite movie of all time is Old Boy. I don't know. You've seen it or not, but that is my favorite movie ever made. And they had no idea what I was talking about. I guess in Korea, it's not necessarily popular or whatever, but, and they're like, oh, okay. And then I was like, all right, what else do I say? And I was like, oh, at the time I drove a Kia, which is a Korean car. I was like, I drive a Kia.
Yeah.
And dude, the first thing they started kind of like, almost like bowing, you know, like, like, thank you. And they were just like, oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I was like, what? All right. Yeah. No problem, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah, dude. And like, just everything that you would relate to anything about Korea, like, it's like they were so happy that, you know, someone understood that, like, Korea. I don't know. This is really strange. But it was really, really cool. They were some of the nicest people ever. That Japanese dude, man, we went to a Japanese steakhouse, and of course he was like, oh man, you need to try sushi. And this is the first time I ever tried sashimi. And he was like, you need to try sushi. You need to try sushi. And so, one of my buddies that are, I think it was a California roll, which is the most American sushi roll you can buy. And I was like, oh, cool. Yeah, I'll eat this. Oh, yeah, this is okay. Whatever, right? And he was like, no. So we went up, and Bristol's a lot bigger than Bluefield, so they have, like, authentic stuff there. So we went to this bar, not like a bar, but like a sushi bar. Yeah. And he started talking to the guy in Japanese, and that guy was like, all right, dude, he peeled the skin on this fish back, cut part of the fish off, popped it on a plate, and handed it to me. And he was like, you eat that. And I was like, say, what? but then I was like, I can't insult this man's culture. Like, I gotta do it. So I ate it, and it wasn't bad, but it was interesting. But I have a lot of cool stories about that Japanese dude, man. He was a really, really cool guy. But yeah, the two nicest people I met were Korean randomly. Korean people seem really, I think they're still grateful for, like, America kind of helping out with the Korean War, I guess.
Yeah. It's an interesting dynamic. Korean people that I've met, well, I've never been to Korea, but, you know, a lot of the Korean people I've met are super awesome people. But then you hear horror stories of foreigners going there. So
I wonder if that's like a, if you go to Seoul, you're probably fine. I need to talk to my buddy Evan. He lived in Daegu, which is like South Korea. Like, it's like far south in South Korea. So yeah. I wonder, I'm actually interested to talk to him about that.
Yeah, you should. I'd be really interested to, if you should do it as a podcast.
I might do it, man. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's, the police, I've heard, won't help you if you're a foreigner.
Huh.
So, I don't know exactly what it is. Like I said, I've never been there. I've never experienced it. One of my friends is Korean Canadian. Mm-hmm. So, she said it was even harsher for non-Korean born Koreans. Cause they're like, you look like one of us, but you're not.
Kind of like the, kind of like the Mexican American. What do they call, what do they call them? You know what I'm talking about?
Is that Chicano?
Maybe.
Is that what that is?
Where they'll say it like negatively, like, oh, you're Mexican, but you're not Mexican. Like,
yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Orange is the New Black?
No, I still need to watch it, man. I have it in my Netflix queue, but I've still not watched it.
In one of the first episodes, I think it was the first episode, with the main character, you know, she's a blonde white lady. And
isn't she the voice? Isn't she the woman who did the voice for Patty Mayonnaise on Doug?
She's in there, but she's not the main character.
Okay. I thought she was on that show.
Yeah, she's someone called Yoga Jones. But anyways, in the first episode, there's this, I can't remember if she's Mexican or she's Latina, and another Latina is talking to her in Spanish, and she's like, "I don't speak Spanish." And she's like, "What?" And she turns to the main white character and asks if she speaks Spanish, and she's like, "Un poquito." And she's like, this white lady speaks Spanish, but you don't. She's like, great, another fucking coconut. I'm like, oh.
Dude, that's that's hilarious. I watched the video one time of Moses. He was in, I think, Michigan, and he had went up there. This relates. He went to Michigan, yeah. And he went to, this was when he was studying whatever language he was studying. I think it was Russian. I think he was going up there to speak Russian. So he went up there, and he went to this bar, or, you know, this, he goes to these, like, little, like, basically, like, pastry shops. I guess, like, Slavic people love pastry shops. I guess it sells over here, because he's always in pastry shops for them. But anyway, so he was talking, and this woman, he started speaking to this woman, and she was like, oh, I've been trying to get her, like, she's, her heritage is Russian. I've been trying to get her to learn Russian, but she won't do it. And they were speaking in Russian. Dude, this woman looks over at this other woman, and she said, see, dude, I swear, I'll try to find this video and send it to you after this chat. She said, see, he learned Russian and he's black. And I was like, what? And of course, Moses, he's like the most humble, laid back, high spirited dude ever. He didn't take it bad. Like, I'm more offended watching the video for him. I'm like, you can't say that. What does that even mean?
Well, I mean, Russia is really, really white from what I've heard. Like, really, really, really white. So,
huh.
I don't know. I guess I've never been to Russia either. I don't intend to go to Russia. So
I'd like to see like Moscow, I think. But Russia to me seems like Russia's like, I don't know, man. It, like, to me, of every country in the world, Russia seems the most completely different to me from all of them. And I think it's just the way that, like, when you see videos and stuff, just, like, the way that the country looks. Because it feels like Russia is one of the top powerhouses in the world.
Yeah.
But they're still very third world country. Like, it's real weird. And I don't know if it's just because they pump a ton of money into Moscow, so they're like, Moscow rules, everywhere else is kind of okay, or what the deal is. But it's like, they're kind of like Argentina to me, how Argentina is like becoming like a, you know, like a, not a powerhouse, but they're becoming a pretty well country after, you know, getting their independence at the late 1800s or whatever. But they, like, Buenos Aires is, like, this mecca of tourism, and then the rest of the country kind of is, like, it's like they're still catching up.
Yeah.
And that's what Russia reminds me of.
I don't get how it works, because China's kind of that way, too, where, you know, parts of it are really, really nice, and parts of it are, like, really rural, and they still don't have plumbing in some places, and...
Right.
But I'm sure there are places like that in the U.S., too, but...
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm sure that there's still... Well, I mean, dude, there's still places in the U.S. you can't even get high-speed internet.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's...
I mean, high-speed internet's a little bit different from plumbing, but...
Well, no, but I mean, like, just saying, like... Because, you know, we think about advanced, and there's people talking about Google Fiber and all this stuff with uploads where you can basically download something before you even click the button. It's so fast, and then other people are still in dial-up. Like it's crazy at the technological differences just in America.
Yeah, there are some places in the world where a cell phone's better to have than a computer because the internet connection's faster. Like, you just can't get that good of an internet connection on a computer.
That's crazy, man.
So strange.
And you would think with cell phones that it would slow down. One thing I noticed when I went to New York City is when I was trying to use GPS, there were so many cell phones, the GPS was having a hard time figuring out where I was.
That's crazy.
Like, I would be on one street, and it would be like, you're near your destination. And then all of a sudden, I would be three streets over on the GPS, and I'm like, "What? Which street am I on? I'm not from here. I don't know where I'm from, where I'm at."
Yeah, that'd be really frustrating.
I gotta get a non-squeaky chair next time. This thing keeps squeaking. Yeah, man, and it's... So that's weird to me, because you figure, like, maybe, like, a place like India. There's a dude I watch named Azrin the Language Nerd. I think I actually found him through your channel, because I think you're subscribed to him, and I was looking at who you're subscribed to one day. And he was doing some live streams from... He went to India for something. I think he was teaching over there, and then he was learning something, but he was live streaming, and it was so choppy. And then I'm thinking... Yeah. So I'm thinking of his instance, right? His internet's choppy. If he used a phone, there's a billion people in India, right?
Yeah.
So, my God, man, that would have to... I figure, like, that would slow it down.
Yeah, probably amazingly super slow. But I don't know. I don't the thing is here, too, like, okay, so I look around where I live, and China has different standards than the U.S. does. Like, a lot of times when people talk online, like, they rate something... They'll be like, it's dirty by a Westerner standard, but it's clean by a Chinese standard. Like, things in every apartment I looked at was super moldy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's still mold on my bed frame under my mattress right now because I haven't gotten around to cleaning it. My kitchen's full of mold. Like, it was bad. And this was the cleanest apartment I found. But also just, like, the way that houses and stuff look, like, it doesn't look super great here in some parts of the city. But my internet, which is free with my cell phone plan, like, if you were to get free internet with your cell phone plan, how would you imagine that internet was?
Yeah, it would be terrible, right?
Even with my VPN, which slows down internet, it's faster than my internet was in Chicago.
Well, I will say, I've had a lot less issues speaking with you this time.
Yeah.
Because when you were in Chicago, there would be times where it would, like, you know how, like, it'll freeze and almost have that, like, computery noise when people, like, almost like that stutter?
Yeah.
Or, like, the screen will, like, pixelate? It would do that for, I mean, never enough to where it would really hurt, but, like, it's been clear and everything That's weird. I wonder why. Like, huh?
I don't know.
So the free internet there is better than the paid internet here.
Yeah, it fluctuates on how good it is, but even on the worst parts of the day, it's still better than it was in Chicago. On the best parts of the day, my download speed is twice as fast, and my upload speed is three or four times as fast.
That's crazy. Really weird, man. What city are you? Are you near like any of the big cities?
So the city I live in has more people than Chicago, but it's less crowded because it's bigger than Chicago. It's more spread out. According to Wikipedia, it's a huge city, but I think for Chinese standards, it's not that big.
Gotcha.
So it's called Qingdao.
Qingdao. Okay.
So. Yeah,
That's right. I think I looked that up one time. It's kind of like central China, right?
No, I could walk to the ocean from here.
Could you?
Like, yeah, from my work, where I work, the ocean's a 5-minute walk.
Wow. Is it on the far, is it like more so south, or is it on like the far east side?
I'm like straight east, west across the sea from Korea.
Gotcha.
So.
Huh. That's interesting.
Yeah. I live on a peninsula that shoots off of a peninsula.
Wow.
I'm planning on including that in a video someday because I think it's funny.
That is, yeah, man, you should. You should definitely start making some more videos. Oh, the other thing. You mentioned this earlier. Your kitchen, did I hear you say at some point your kitchen is outside of your house?
Oh, yeah. If I want to go to, so this, what you see right here, is basically the only room in this part of my apartment. There's a bathroom right there, which you can see into. There's like a frosted window between this and my bathroom. Mm-hmm. The little entryway area, then it's outside. You go down some steps, and you turn to your right, and there's a sliding door, and you step down into my kitchen.
So do people there share a kitchen, or is that your kitchen?
It's my kitchen. I have my own little courtyard area sort of thing.
Why is it? Is that a common thing over there?
No, the apartment I live in used to be twice as big as this, but the guy who is renting, so he has like a 10-year lease from this woman who owns the building.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got this apartment, he split it into two apartments so he could make more money.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so things are really awkwardly designed. I mean, it looks really nice.
Yeah, and, I mean, it looks from seeing it on the video, it looks, like kind of like a studio apartment, like a nice studio apartment.
Yeah, it's basically exactly what it is. And it's like, it's really nicely decorated. I've got all these deer pictures over here on my wall, a bunch of plants that I'm slowly killing on accident. But so it's a nice apartment. It's just really weirdly, I wish my kitchen was connected. I'd be so much happier.
That's weird. So like in the wintertime and you're like, I got to go get some hot cocoa, but I also have to walk outside to do that. Well, yeah, I don't know how are the seasons over there? Which I know you haven't been there long, but I'm sure you probably researched it a little bit. How are the seasons there?
Nowhere near as cold as Chicago.
Okay, I was going to say, being on a peninsula near the ocean, you probably don't get like... Because since you're not like far north China, it's probably not like super windy, or not right. windy, but super cold.
Right. I've asked about snow. Apparently we don't get much snow. I've heard anywhere from no snow to about this much snow. So, and I'm used to getting snow up to my hips.
Yeah.
Not in Chicago. Sure. It doesn't snow that bad in Chicago, but in Indiana.
That's right, because you're on the far north side of Indiana.
Yeah.
Huh.
You know, that lake effect.
Yeah. Huh, that's cool, man. That's weird that the kitchen's outside, because I'm sitting in my kitchen right now. Like.
Yeah?
So, and it's connected to my house. There's my living room. I have stuff on my TV. Like, it's just weird to me, because, like, in America, which I mean, and obviously in China too, but like, and I'm sure you're used to it. You probably cooked and like had something on TV and you're like, all right, cool. Let me step around. All right. Yep. Still TV's going on. Let me come back over here and cook.
Yeah. Thankfully my internet still reaches down there. So
that's good.
but also I have a TV right here in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a TV in my kitchen.
Is that a radiator beside the TV?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm wondering how that's going to go.
Yeah. Is that, I see the air thing up there. Is that like how the Japanese heat system works? That little heater on the ceiling there?
So, that up there is my air conditioner, and that on the wall is the heater. that's just super, I don't know.
Because it's not like Central Air, right?
No, yeah, I haven't seen Central Air in any place I looked at. I'm sure they have it, but it's not. Maybe in the newer buildings, but
right,
like everywhere I've seen has these things. You can buy these things; they're for sale at grocery stores. But yeah, that's it's cool. Nice. I like it.
Yeah, it's cool. I know that. Did you ever watch Texan in Tokyo on YouTube?
Yes. I was just thinking about them yesterday.
Yeah, I'm still really sad that they quit, but I think it was on a video that I saw of them, because they talked about how in Japan, like, you literally just have like that one heating unit that you have like right there behind you, and so like in the wintertime to stay warm, they take that big like silicone bottle and fill it with boiling hot water. Mm-hmm. Seal it off and put it at the end of the bed so the heat will radiate up through the bed. That's just what, seeing that literally sparked that memory, because I remember she did like a day in the life or something like that, and I think it was in the wintertime, and she was like, oh, here's the heating thing, but it unfortunately doesn't heat the whole house. You have to do this to stay warm at night. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah. There's a bunch of water bottles here too, so I want like hot water bottle things, so I wonder if that's the same. I don't know. Like I said, most places I looked at were small. So
we're smaller than where you're at now?
No, this is the smallest one, but they're all still decently small. So they'd be able to be heated pretty well by a radiator, I think.
I would say that's a big freaking radiator.
Yeah. And there's another one in my kitchen. My kitchen is not air conditioned, but it has a radiator.
The radiator's gotta be 6 feet tall.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's taller than I am.
That's crazy. I mean, it's not like super wide, but that's a big radiator.
Yeah, I'm just nervous about it being that close to the TV. I'm like,
Yeah, that's because if that heats up, that might like melt some of the configuration of the TV.
Yeah, like this place was just redone, so I don't think it's gone through winter. So I'm wondering. We'll find out.
Yeah, what's like movie culture and stuff over there? Do they like? Have you been to like the movies or anything yet, or are they as big as they are, like here and stuff, like that whole industry?
So a lot of, I don't know if this is true or not, but I like watching reviews and stuff on movies occasionally from time to time on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, based on what these reviews are saying, at least, that a lot of the market for American blockbuster films are no longer the United States, which is one of the reasons the plots are being really dominant. It's more about dumb action.
Mm-hmm.
Is because that's what sells in China. I don't know if that's true, but
something worth looking into.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking that movies here are pretty, China's huge on pirating things.
Cause there's no copyright laws over there, right?
I don't know about copyright, right? That's what I've heard. I don't know if it's true or not. But pirating things is huge here. But yet still, American movies make a lot of their money overseas in China. Huh. So I don't know how it works.
That is weird. I would be interested. I'm going to look that up at some point to see what the statistics of like where, you know, movies are made. Because I know like you'll see like, you'll see American box office, and then you'll see worldwide. And obviously, you're talking about the world, but the worldwide will be like three times more than America. And
yeah,
again,
and a lot of it's...
yeah, and again, I understand that a lot of it, you're talking about America versus the entire world, but that's still interesting to me because America seems like it's, I mean, there for so long, America was the entertainment capital.
Yep.
And it seems like that's which I think with the rise of like, especially in like the 60s and 70s and 80s with like Japanese film and, you know, you had some directors that really took off, like Takashi Miike and stuff, who really pushed boundaries and stuff. I think it's made cinema, you know, a little more, I think people are more interested. And then again, you know, movies like Oldboy, with Chan-wook Park from Korea, like I think that there's filmmakers now from other areas that I think make people interested about cinema throughout the world, and it's there's other countries that can make movies.
Yeah. Definitely. I think that there's a rise in popularity of foreign films right now. I still don't think they're anywhere near, in the United States at least, what American films are. But I think people are more open to watching them and more open to reading subtitles, which is good. So
yeah, that I think that's always been the killer, man, is there's like, and that goes to fit, and obviously I'm not one to talk. I'm lazy as crap. I mean, but I mean, like, not when it comes to stuff like that. I would rather read a movie in subtitles than to have it dubbed 100% every time. Just because I've seen dubbing change stories and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've seen where, like, they'll literally leave important parts out just because the dubbing didn't do it. So you're listening to him speak and you're like, but that's not even what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, and it, the lips not syncing up really distracts me a lot.
Me too, man. Me too.
Oh, I can't do it. I'll do it if I can do it with cartoons, but I can't with live action.
No, I agree. And sometimes, if it's off just a mil, and I'm sure, hopefully this podcast isn't off, which I don't know how many people will watch versus just actually put it on and listen to it, because there's not really anything happening here. But like, I can't stay. I'm gonna, and I'll try to fix that this when we stop here. That way, I can do that, because I can't stand for the audio to even be like, it takes me right out of something, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I was, I didn't watch the final version of my newest video I posted up, because like, did you see the short one I posted about me eating popcorn?
I haven't seen it yet. I just watched, because it's been a little bit since I've been on YouTube, because I just this past weekend trying to get stuff done with the car and stuff like that. But I did watch the one where you went out, you were trying to go to that game store, and they were closed, and then I saw the chocolate popcorn, is that what you said it was?
I saw the
thing for it. I just haven't watched it yet. But yeah, I think it was only like 2 minutes or something.
Yeah, it's literally like a minute and a half. It's just me, like, I was like, hey, quick thing, I found this, I want to eat it, I can only make it at work, I don't have a microwave at home. So I filmed it on my phone, and when I was editing it, like I said, I didn't watch it, so I don't, because it was like a minute and a half throwaway. It's not my normal like posting time. It's just like an extra thing.
Right.
But when I was editing it, half of the video, my mouth wasn't lining up, and I was like, oh, I want to delete this just because of this. But sometimes in the editing program, it isn't synced, but it is in real life.
Right.
Like when it's finished, but I didn't check because I didn't want it to be unsynced, because then I knew I wouldn't post it. So
what I find funny is, when I, okay, if I record a video, so if I'm recording with my phone, right?
Yeah.
If I'm recording with this camera, there's mm-hmm. no issue.
Yeah.
When I'm recording with this camera, so when I'm talking like this, let me get that on camera. Yeah. So when I'm talking like this to the screen, that's when the audio sync issues come into play. Now,
really?
It's only if I record for a decent amount of time. The other thing that I noticed that's interesting is, if I take the video that I recorded from here, no matter how long it is, and I upload it on YouTube, no sync issues. As soon as I import it into an editor, that's when the sync issues happen.
That's crazy.
It's very, very weird. And there's programs you can download that fixes that, but I've never had any luck with them. Like, one of the big ones is a program called Handbrake.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out, like, it just doesn't work. So what I'll do, if it gets to it, and I've recorded long enough to where it does start to do the audio sync thing, dude, I'll break it down, I'll split the audio from the video, I'll clip out literally 2 to 3 milliseconds of audio, shrink it back down until it matches the lips again, and just go, I'll give it a minute or two to where it gets just a touch off, to where it's like you can almost tell something's happening, and then I'll do it again, I'll cut 2 or 3 milliseconds out and do it again.
Interesting. Yeah, I've had to do that before. When I first started experimenting with using a different microphone than the one that was in my cameras and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
when I first started doing it, my camera and my microphone recorded at different rates.
Mm, yeah.
For some reason. And so they'd start synced up, and then they'd end up not synced up. And I'm like, I don't understand what's happening. But thankfully now everything I have works really well together, and I don't have to mess up with any settings. It works. It's
great. Yeah, because audio records at a different, I don't want to say frame rate, because that's what camera stuff is. I guess maybe, I don't know, I don't think frequency is the right word. But yeah, audio records faster than what video records, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So.
And I was like, I don't understand how this is happening, but I know it is.
Because I
and
did.
And I read it online, and I was like, I still don't understand it.
Yeah. I did a long time ago. I was trying to do maybe some gaming stuff, and I had a webcam set up just like this right here, and I was recording, but I had I had my microphone, I had my Yeti plugged up, and I had my regular camera, that's what it was. I had my regular camera up. Well, I was using my regular camera for, you know, like for commentary, like reactions, and I was recording the audio with my Yeti. When I like synced them together, it ended on about a 15-second difference.
Yeah.
Like, my video was still going, and my audio was done.
Yeah.
It was insane. That's
exactly where my problem was. It was in recording gaming. Like, I didn't really have a problem using my actual camcorder, but when I was trying to record with my webcam to do reactions to my gaming... Mm-hmm. Oh boy, it was different.
Yeah.
So
it makes a huge, huge difference. So, well, Dakota, I'm probably that's about an hour and a half. I'm probably going to end it there. I do want to have you back on here, man. I love chatting with you and stuff.
Yeah.
It's always very informative, and you have a lot of cool stories and stuff, and I love hearing about how you're doing and stuff. So I know Dakota is on YouTube. You can follow him at Language Learning Lounge. You're about to maybe change the channel name on that?
Maybe. I'm still deciding.
But if you type in Language Learning Lounge, even if you find this a year later, it'll still pop up because of his old videos. So
yeah. And it's my URL. So
yeah, so you can go check that out. And yeah, because you're changing it because you're not going to be just language learning stuff, because it's almost more of like a cultural channel now since you're in China. Right.
Yeah, it's going to be more cultural than vlogging and maybe some history, whatever I feel like doing, really.
Yeah, I think that'll be super cool.
Yeah, thanks.
That'll be super, super cool. So, but yeah, go check him out there. I will leave links down below. I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to put this up. I said I was going to put it up on Anchor FM, but I'm not 100% sure yet because I still need to figure out if this is even going to be a thing, which I plan on doing regularly, but... But man, I appreciate you stopping by, chatting for a while, and maybe we'll get back together in like a week or so and do it again. Because I think we did two podcasts on the language thing, and then I don't know, man. It's super easy talking to you, man. You're super easy to talk to. So,
thanks. It's always great talking to you too.
Yeah, man. But I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you guys on the next podcast.
Bye.